Never do it again. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's it. Come to Pat's Pub on Friday.
Yeah.
Have a brewski with me.
All right. I don't know. He's wandering around out there. I wish we could stay for another hour. I really do. I'd like
we
to.
We all love you so much.
Yeah. But I see him, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
CITR 101.9 FM. A special thank you to this month's advertisers, The Lido, Horse Records, Recruiting Canada, Vancouver Theatre Sports, The Rio Theatre, The Rickshaw, Final Records, Live Van, and AMS Events.
I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my dream. It made me lie.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
Thank you.
up ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Community Living Show. Again, Kelly is still on that other assignment in Cambodia. Actually, he's with the Habitat for Humanities. He's doing some really cool stuff for the world that way. Today, we're going to play some clips about something that that in everything I've been doing for fibromyalgia and hidden illnesses, that somebody, while our script, my script writer for the documentary that we're doing, he found another disorder. It's called hypermobility, or EDS. And what in one of the articles that he passed on to me, I thought was really crazy, because this woman hadn't really eaten food in a number of years because her jaw dislocates when she eats. So One of the euphemisms for EDS is also called being double jointed. Well, as we know, we've seen contortionists being double jointed, things like that, where they are entertaining people. But what if, like, your shoulder just fell out of place several times a week, or you just couldn't function because joints just didn't do what they were supposed to do? So I'm going to try to play a couple clips of that sort of thing for you today, so you get some stories about what's going on with this. So here, let me try to find a clip for you here. Well, that's not going to do it. Just bear with me a second here while we try to find a clip. Oh, here we go. This one looks good. Okay.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance. And it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
Just not doing it. All right. We need some people talking, don't we? All right. Let's try this one here. And this is the reason why I have Kelly around, too, to help out with these things, because we have a chance to pre-screen things. So here we go.
Subclass.
This is...
or individuals.
Let's go through this one. Okay. This one is a doctor from the Mayo Clinic. Dr. David Deal, and he's going to discuss, it's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or hypermobility type. Okay?
Hypermobility EDS is a subclass of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, where individuals have joint hypermobility as the predominant symptom. They may have some soft skin, and the skin may be mildly stretchy. However, they do not usually have skin fragility. That means that their wounds will heal. They don't have unusual scarring. They do not have their wounds open up after they heal. So a main criteria of the hypermobility form of EDS is that their skin usually is intact. The vast majority of these patients have difficulties with joints, particularly pain and joint dislocation and or subluxation, meaning that they have the sensation that their joints are popping in and out of place. These individuals can also have other concerns outside of the joint pain. These would include GI problems. Irritable bowel syndrome is very common. Heartburn is very common. These individuals do have issues with mood due to pain. They can have anxiety and depression. But sometimes these patients can be predisposed to depression and anxiety even without the pain. Hypermobility form of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is diagnosed by a clinical exam. You need to rule out any signs on physical exam that may make you think of other subtypes of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Very detailed family history is required to make sure that there's no history of unexplained vascular events in the family that may lead you to think of other forms of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. But the primary way it's diagnosed is by physical exam. This is a lifelong condition. You cannot correct or change the hypermobility or the symptoms. You can only manage them as best as you can. These would include ways to improve core muscle strengthening and avoid the dislocations and subluxation that can occur in these individuals, as well as pain management. Many of these patients can have significant pain. It can be quite debilitating, and pain management is a priority in these patients for long-term function and quality of life. So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is an autosomal dominant condition, meaning that you only need one change in one of the two copies of genes you have to have symptoms of this disorder. Patients are first degree relatives, mom, dad, or siblings, and children are at 50% risk. So if the individual has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, should have children, their kids would have a 50% chance of receiving the gene that leads to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and having symptoms similar to their parents. When we are treating patients with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome hypermobility type, they will usually be evaluated by physical medicine rehabilitation for core muscle strengthening and long-term management. We also try to have our patients see pain rehabilitation because the pain management is a long-term goal, and it can be quite significant for these patients. In some cases, if they're young and have severe scoliosis, we may refer them to orthopedic surgery as well. But the vast majority of patients who have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome hypermobility type, orthopedic surgery or orthopedic intervention does not have as good outcomes as other individuals. They tend to have problems shortly after their surgical procedure, and their joints may actually be just as loose as they used to be.
that gives you kind of an overview of what it is that they're talking about with this type of syndrome, and you know, what these people may actually go through. So, you know, let's see if we can find a little more about this. Okay. Okay, hang on a second here. It's just not being friendly. Sometimes, you know, computers are can be a little bit weird sometimes. So we're going to try this again. That one. Okay, so here we go.
Hey guys, so a bit of an unusual video for me in that it's a non-makeup one and it's about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or EDS or EDS depending on what you call it. It's basically hypermobility syndrome that I have, which is a form of EDS. And EDS, you can get the mildest, which is what I'm lucky enough to have, I suppose. And then you can get a lot more severe types, so you can get another, I think there's another two or three types of EDS that you can have. Like I said, I'm lucky enough to have the mildest form. The way that it affects me, I have a lot of symptoms that may be related, I have some that are completely unrelated, and I have some that definitely are related. EDS, or hypermobility syndrome, is basically a connective tissue disorder, but it affects the joints and it causes a lot of joint pain. For me, I'll tell you the things that I have that are related, not related, or maybe related. Completely unrelated, I have polycystic ovaries, endometriosis, and high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I don't know if any of those are related. It's never been mentioned that they're related, so I think they're completely unrelated, and I might well do a video on those at some point in the future. I'll maybe do a little mini health series. Definitely related are my arthritis and joint pain. So I have knee pain, I have elbow pain, I have tennis elbow and golfer's elbow. So one's this side and one's that side. So like if I'm in the bath and my elbows touch the sides, it's very sore. If I put my arms like that, it's sore, you know, that kind of thing. And I have pains in my wrists and just the general kind of joint pain. My knee pain is the biggest problem for me. And that's probably the worst. And that's the one I've kind of had an operation on and trying to fit it out. Tiredness is related. I'm really, really tired a lot of the time. That's related to Ehlers-Danlos. It's also related to the drugs I take, but it's related to Ehlers-Danlos. And what else? I have an ectopic beat, which may be related. Actually, that's not directly related. That's a maybe related, because you can have heart problems if you've got Ehlers-Danlos. And like I said, I have this ectopic beat that a lot of people can have anyway without having EDS. Potentially related are, I have, and actually the three main symptoms I deal with are knee pain, headaches or migraines, and bladder pain. The migraines may be related, but I'm not sure how. I've just got a feeling that they are, you know. And the bladder pain may be related, and somebody did explain to me how that was related, because Ehlers-Danlos is basically looseness in your connective tissue and joints. And it means that your body reacts like an athlete. So my body reacts as if, for example, I've been running for years. I wish my body looked like that, but it doesn't, but my joints react like that. And the skin of everything internally and outside is loose. And in fact, when I said to my dentist that I had to fill in a form and say that I had EDS, and he went, oh, let me see your skin, and he was grabbing my skin like this, you know, he's absolutely bonkers. But with the bladder, it is thought that maybe people with EDS have an irregular shaped bladder because the skin is looser. It means it's not in a perfect shape and it's maybe like stretched. And therefore, if you say got a pocket of an area that was stretched, it wouldn't empty completely, and they can be prone to infections. I've had bladder infections since I was 11 years old, really serious infections. And in fact, I think the first one I had at 11 years old, my stepmum and my dad at the time thought it was just me starting my monthly cycle, and it wasn't, it was a cystitis infection. Over the years, it hasn't been a huge problem over the years. I was 33 when I got all of these symptoms happened to me. I don't know why at that age, but suddenly at 33, I was limping from the knee pain. The cystitis had caused basically permanent cystitis and permanent bladder nerve damage. and I had these migraines suddenly appearing. It was just bizarre. And I actually ended up leaving the job I was at, and I was somebody that was never off sick or anything, but I left this job and I took a few months off work. I was just felt so awful and kind of was having a bit of a breakdown dealing with it all as well. And that's when I got diagnosed. It was the knee pain. I went to see a physio and they said to me, oh, do this. And I'm not sure how far everybody else's goes back, but mine apparently goes further than most. And she said, oh, I think you're hypermobile. You'll need to see a rheumatologist. So I did. I went to the doctors and they sent me to a rheumatologist and he did a test, which is the Beighton scale. And the Beighton scale is to see if you are hypermobile, i.e. have Ehlers Danlos. And I think I got 9 out of 9 on the Beighton scale. So I was like the top of the scale. And you get points for like, you have to put your hands on the floor and see if you can do that. You have to like bend your thumb down, you see how my thumb touches my wrist and things like that, you know. And you had to do this thing with this and your elbow, like my elbows turn inwards. And there was different tests and he gives you different points for all of this. And I asked him what the treatment was, and that was the funny bit, because he just said to me, well, you can rub capsicum into your joints if you like. And that's basically, capsicum is just peppers, bell peppers, in it, and it's got this gel that you can get from the doctor. I think some things have a tiny, tiny amount in it, but not the amount you need for joint pain. And you
So we're going to pause that for a second for a station ID and everything. Okay, so we'll be right back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM here at UBC and the NCRA networks.
Local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10. And they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
Okay, and we're going to get back to that YouTube clip. With EDS, a lady describing what she actually suffers from, her symptoms and things like that. Okay, so we'll go back to that.
Put it on your skin and your skin heats up. It's like deep heat, but 10 times worse, because I actually ended up getting some, and oh my God, basically it burns your skin so that you forget about your joint pain. That was my theory with it, and never again will I use it. Anyway, that's all he told me was the treatment. I then saw an orthopedic surgeon who did say he could operate on my right knee. I had the operation on my right knee and that made a big deal of difference for me. But there isn't actually any treatment for Ehlers-Danlos, there is treatment for the symptoms. So whatever your symptoms are, you will go to that specialist and they will give you any treatments possible. So I went to the orthopedic surgeon who gave me surgery, I went to the physio who taught me exercises and gave me different kind of tools, and I went to see a urologist about the bladder pain. And out of all of that, I have got drugs, aids, things that I use to help me through kind of daily life, and I've also got experience enough now that I manage my condition. So I'll tell you what works for me. Basically, for the bladder pain, I take amitriptyline, which is a drug that I was lucky enough to get when I wasn't working. And I say that because it knocks you out, and I was basically only awake for a few hours a day. And if I was working at the time, I wouldn't have been able to stay on that drug. And I know a few people that have tried it and not been able to stay on it because of that effect. But for me, it worked, and it just made it bearable to go to work. Although saying that, I was still in a lot of pain when I did start the new job, which was in the NHS where I work now. But it made it bearable enough that I could go to work. And now it's just a wonder drug. And if I forget to take it one night, I can feel it immediately. I can't get to sleep, and I'm running to the loo, and it starts to feel agony. If I get a full bladder, it's like having a bladder of acid. It's just awful. And amitriptyline is amazing. So if you get the chance to have that if you're having any problems with kind of bladder nerve damage or interstitial cystitis, which is really hard to say, anything like that, give it a go, because it does work, and you just need to get through that period of being really, really tired. I think it lasts about a month, and then it kind of, it doesn't ever go away completely, because now I go to bed, what is this rogue bit of hair? I go to bed at 9 o'clock every night, which is a disadvantage, but I'm prepared to pay that price because of the amount of pain relief I get from it. The other thing that I do is I don't drink a lot of alcohol, because if I have a lot of alcohol, it causes me a lot of bladder pain, and I have to make sure that I drink constantly throughout the day. So I'm always drinking tea, and I'm always running to the loo. But again, that's something I need to do to not be in pain, so I'm okay with that. For my headaches, I am taking ibuprofen, paracetamol and codeine daily, all prescribed. I would prefer not to be taking the codeine, I prefer not to be taking the paracetamol or the ibuprofen, but they are the only things that stop my headaches. People might wonder if I've got rebound headaches. I do not. I have tested that out by going 3 weeks without any painkillers, and it was the worst 3 weeks ever. And I still had the headaches at the end. So, and that was, I went through that with the doctor, and it was confirmed that it's not rebound headaches, and these painkillers work for me. So I take them every day. I would prefer not to, like I say, but I got to a point in my life where I'm going to stop being that person that's like, oh, I don't want to take drugs, because I have a happier life with them and I'm not in pain. And when I take them, I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to not be in pain and to just enjoy life. So I take them, and I would love to not, and I am going to try and taper them off at some point, but for now, it's just not the right time for me. Unfortunately, it means that the ibuprofen makes my reflux worse. I've got reflux disease as well, which could be related to the Ehlers-Danlos, but for that I take lansoprazole, so I'm kind of on a lot of drugs. I'm on other stuff, I'm on metformin for the polycystic as well, but I might do another video about those, as I said. And I also have some kind of physical aids, and I've got them here actually. I've got my spiky balls. These are, you just put them under your shoulder blades and kind of roll your shoulders, and that just takes away all the tension in your muscles, and that helps to not cause pain. And I also use my foam roller for the same kind of thing. And I got both of these off of Amazon. I just put this under my back and kind of roll on it. And I'm going to do that later, because my back's actually really sore sitting here. And the other thing, like I said, is management. And by management, I mean that... Oh, no, there's one other thing. One other thing that is just like a miracle to me, and that's this. It's my physio tape. If you have any kind of joint pain, please look up kinesio tape. I have done a whole video on it actually, called, I think it's called kinesio tape or physio tape. I'll try and stick it below. But have a look at kinesio tape. You can buy these in Boots in the single packets. They're £7. So even if you want to try it that way, I bought this whole roll. It was actually a lot thicker than this, for £30 from eBay. And this is just a miracle to me. If I put this on my knees, I can walk for a couple of hours. I can't do that any other way. I get a little bit longer if I put heat pads on, I can walk for a little bit longer. But with this, it's just, this got me through my wedding day, and I was able to stand for my vows and dance in the evening, etc. Brilliant stuff. It's also worked for my plantar fasciitis as well. I've had it on my foot and my knee when I was going out a couple of weeks ago, and I was in a lot of pain. I was like strapping myself up. So that's what I mean by management. I don't, like if I've got a pile of iron in, and I stood and did it for hours, I would be in pain. So I have to make sure that I do my ironing every day. If I'm going to be going uptown and spending time shopping, I need to strap my knees up, make sure I've got the proper shoes on, you know, top up on my painkillers, make sure I've got a background of painkillers, and I've taken the full lot of anti-inflammatories. That's what I mean by management. With the bladder thing, I need to drink all day and make sure that there is the opportunity for me to drink a lot of liquid. I don't drink too much alcohol because that irritates the bladder. So that's what I mean by management. I hope that makes sense. Then there's the kind of emotional side, I guess, in that most of the time I'm okay with it, but sometimes I get really upset. And actually, I did already film this video, but I got really upset, and I thought, I don't want to be crying on screen, because I really want it to be a positive video. I don't want it to be a negative kind of depressing video, because that's not me most of the time. Most of the time, I deal with it well. I think I deal with it well, not just because of my personality. Some of it is that, of course, but I think it's because I've got these things at my disposal, and there are things you can do. And that's the message I really want to get out, that you don't have to just sit and suffer in pain. You know, I've got horrendous knee pain, and if I didn't take the drugs and I didn't do my exercises and I didn't use the taping or the heat pads or anything like that, I'd be in agony all the time, and I would just not be working, and I would be lying at home and saying, you know, I can't go anywhere or do anything. I'm not saying that there aren't people that that is the case and there's nothing they can do, because that does happen to me. Sometimes I get to a stage where I can't get off the sofa because I'm in so much pain. But generally that is because I've overdone it and I've not managed my condition, and I've, you know, done it 2 hours worth of ironing, or I've been running around cleaning the house and I've not put my trainers on with my supports in, because even when I'm in the house I need to wear my orthotics. And if I haven't done that and given kind of, almost given the disease the respect that it needs, then I end up in a lot of pain. So anyway, yeah, like I said, most of the time I'm strong. I occasionally have a breakdown, one of which was last week, and I met my friend for lunch, and bless her, she was feeling upset because I was upset, which was lovely, but I don't want to make anybody upset, you know. And I think it's just that she hasn't seen me have those breakdowns before. Like, I tell her in emails and stuff, you know, we email all the time and I see her once a month, but she'd never actually seen me upset. But every, I don't know, maybe every 3 months or so, I just get really, really down about it. And it's normally when there's either a side effect from one of the drugs, because the drugs that I'm on, you know, I'm on other drugs for other conditions as well, can have some horrendous side effects, or it's when something new happens or the pain gets worse. And I think what happened is I got the plantar fasciitis, which is pain in your foot basically. And I just was feeling like more pain, you know, like I've got pains in my elbows. I can't, you know, put my, when I'm sitting in the bath, I can't put my elbows on the side. I can't put my arms like it felt like really another thing. Like I can't, there's nothing I can do. I felt like every single part of my life was affected by it. And when that happens, I just kind of wallow in it for a couple of days, to be honest. And, you know, I was sitting in tears with my friend and just saying like that sometimes it's really hard to get up in the morning, and it's hard and it's painful to live. And I think she was worried, and I'm in no way and never am suicidal whatsoever, but it wasn't a lie. Sometimes it's hard to live with pain. It's very, very hard. And it's hard to get up and just be strong about it and get on with the day and ignore the pain, or do, you know, all of it. Sometimes I think, God, I wish I didn't have to like count out my drugs in all these little pots and make sure I've always got them on me and never go anywhere without them. Or sometimes it's embarrassing as well, because especially at work, like sometimes, you know, there's a crowd of us going somewhere and they'll all head off up the stairs and I can't go upstairs because that really hurts my knees. And I'm just like, I'll see you guys up there, and I have to get in the lift. And it's embarrassing, you know, and it kind of makes me feel like the odd one out. But most of the time I'm okay with it, and I just have to get on with it and think, you know what, it could be way, way worse, way worse. Especially in the industry I work in, because, you know, we're dealing with people with cancer. We all know somebody that's died of cancer. You know, I had a brother that died of cancer. I had a friend a couple of years ago that died of cancer. Like, it's everywhere, and I think it could be worse. So most of the time I'm pretty strong about it. And I think that's just because I have that little wallow. And I think if you allow yourself that, because actually what my friend said to me was that I'm too hard on myself. She was like, you deal with things really well, so you're too hard on yourself. You need to give yourself a break and relax a little bit and not try to do everything. And, you know, I've got to find that point between not letting this disease beat me and just getting on with life and doing too much. And I'm still trying to find that balance, and most of the time I'm okay. But I sometimes overdo it, and then I'm in pain and I get kind of like grumpy, like, well, why can't I just do the same things as everybody else? You know, all I want to do is do my housework and the everyday things. But like I said, it could be much worse. That's a little bit of a ramble. I apologise for that. But my hope for this video, like I said, I had taped it and got a bit upset, and I didn't want to be upset on screen. Not because I'm embarrassed, I'm not, but because when I talk about it, it does get me upset. And, you know, when you see it kind of written down and I'm sitting going, and I've got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, it does upset me. But I don't want people to watch something that is negative. I want the takeaway message to be that you don't have to just accept this, that there are things you can do. So I hope that
Well, that's quite the message. And I think that's what a lot of people with disabilities are, that, you know, you can move on past it. We're going to play another clip that kind of describes a little more about what EDS looks like. Okay, so just hang on there. visual than audio. So let's go and find one that is definitely audio. People talking. Okay, here's one.
I am pretty ill. I wanted to spend some time talking about the hypermobility form of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's very similar to the classic form, which is covered on a different video. But with the hypermobile form, there's fewer skin signs and unfortunately more pain. Now, if you didn't get to see the video on the classic form of Ehlers-Danlos, I'd highly recommend going back to review that one first, because in that video, we discussed the first thing you want to look for in Ehlers-Danlos, and that would be loose joints. Now, it can be tricky to figure out how loose it is, but we use the Biden scale for a good starting point. So if you score a 4 or 5 out of 9 points, you are generally speaking considered to be hypermobile. And very briefly, if you get, if your pinky, say when your hand is flat on the floor, can go up 90 degrees or more, then you get a point. Point for each pinky. You get a point for each thumb that can reach down and with help can touch your forearm. I'm not going to take it all the way there because you shouldn't keep stretching that joint. You get a point for each elbow that hyperextends 10 degrees or more, point for each knee that hyperextends or goes backwards, if you will, 10 degrees or more, and you get your final point if you can stand up straight, knee straight, bend over and touch the palms flat on the floor. Now, if you're borderline, or if you're very young or elderly, we sometimes have to look at family members or check for overall hypermobility in other ways, like find out what can put your knee on your forehead, for example, and that can help us. So the hypermobility does not need to be extreme. The patient usually doesn't even realize that they are hypermobile. I certainly did not. Now, because of the hypermobility, the joints are loose, and subluxations and dislocations, even many times a day, are very common. Some of us seasoned Ehlers-Danlos patients are pretty good about putting our own joints back together. In fact, I can do that fairly well with most all of my joints except my shoulders, which can stay subluxated unless I think to tighten the muscle to put me in. But the first problem I personally had with subluxations that became limiting was when my hip went out. Or like my t-shirt says, my hip went out and it still hasn't come home yet. That was a good one. I battled this darn hip for about a year, and the doctors assumed my leg was turned about 45 degrees outward. My knees started to hurt, so they thought it was my knee. My back started to hurt, so they wanted me to back, blah, blah, blah. I was limping around wearing a brace most of the time, and as is typical, the orthopedic doctors weren't able to figure it out, but the physical therapist really gave it some time and taught me how to kind of put my hip back into position. So that really helped. And then soon thereafter, I figured out I had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Now, we all have our doctor's stories, but so that you don't feel like you were all learning yours, let me tell you my first. One of the orthopedic doctors that I went to said, well, yeah, my leg is turned 45 degrees out, so I would just need to learn to how to curtail some of my activities. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, I need to curtail walking, and I guess going upstairs, and things like that. And I thought, why did all of a sudden my leg turn out 45 degrees? And then he said, well, obesity can be a cause. Okay. Well, I could probably drop about 5 pounds, but obesity, really, you know. And then he said, well, he could break my leg and turn it 45 degrees and reset it. Okay, this is what we deal with sometimes. So I must.
Okay, we need to go to another break. You're listening to Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks and here live at UBC's CITR 101.9 FM.
Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 6th to 22nd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series to help celebrate Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. In 2016, 24 campus and community radio stations from across Canada produce a weekly show highlighting Rendez-vous de la Francophonie events and the importance of bilingualism and Francophone culture and history of Canada. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&B or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune in to the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 p.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by new DJ Rain and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca.
And we're back here live on Community Living Radio. And right now we have Cheryl Young with us. She's going to give us her segment for this week about fibromyalgia and hidden illness. But I hear that there is a congratulations in order.
Well, I guess there is, yes.
You were nominated to Ladies of Distinction, is that correct?
Yeah, the YWCA Metro Vancouver Women of Distinction Award. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the 10 finalists, oh, I guess not even 10, one of the finalists for the community champion. So we will start, I guess I do a photo shoot on Monday. March the 8th is a kind of a get to know other people that are in the finalists. And then while I'm walking to Banff, just before Penticton, we're going to have to get me back to Vancouver from the walk and then back again for 9 o'clock in the morning the next day. So it's going to be kind of a real interesting day walking and then heading to Vancouver and then back again to start the next day at 9 o'clock. So, okay. Yeah, awesome.
So I have a couple questions on that one, right?
Okay.
Okay. One, I know you're excited, right?
Oh, always. It's always lovely.
Always excited, right?
Yeah.
Two, what does that mean? Because I know you do suffer from fatigue. What does that mean for that?
Yeah. It's going to be one of those days where I'll be up all night. And what I find with my chronic fatigue is that one good thing is that I'm always positive, and even when I don't sleep for a day or two. And, yeah, that happens to me myself as well. That I am easy, I can keep going. A lot of people would get grumpy or fatigued, like really drag, but it's not to about the third day that will get me. So what I try to do is, like even last night I only had a few hours sleep, that I have to carry on the next day knowing that I have to go down and sleep a lot the next day. Otherwise, then it gets to be a habit. And then you get into that every day not sleeping, and that you have to stop immediately. You can't let it go past 3 days without sleep. And then if you do, then you've got a real challenge, problem, like real terrible.
Well, so there's a whole lot of health conditions after 3 days of no sleep that happen,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I want people to know as well, your viewers, that, yes, I suffer with chronic fatigue, and yes, that's going to be a challenge unless I go to sleep in the car as they're driving up. I'm easy that way, too. Nigel can be driving. Nigel's my husband and my driver, can be driving to Vancouver, and I'll go to sleep. You know, that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons I don't drive anymore is I've got chronic fatigue. So I can go to sleep at, like, bang, right? So I'm lucky to do that. That is something I can do. That's why I don't drive. So, yeah. So that's going to be really interesting that day. That's going to be exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting, and I'm really happy to hear that. And I wish I could be in the room when you're having your photo shoots and all that sort of stuff, you know, to cover all that. That'd be totally awesome.
I know, but they're got their own people.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I totally understand that.
I'd love you there, too. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. They're really awesome, the YWCA. As you probably know, I was also nominated last year, and it's awesome. It's an awesome event, and it's like our values, like the village. They're into helping people and mm-hmm. getting housing for them, so it's like a good fit for our foundation, and so we're really excited to be able to work closely with them, and that's great. And another great thing is about creating awareness is with the walk happening at the same time, I don't think anyone can ignore that. I think that will go out front, right and center, because I'm going to be talking a lot that night about to people there, and they'll know, hey, I had to kind of get in there and then got to get back for 9 o'clock in the morning so Michael can walk with me from Penticton. So, yeah, so it's going to be it's going to be awesome. Yeah, really awesome. So we're going to be so excited anyways with the walk. So what's a little bit more excitement? It's all good.
Yeah. It couldn't be more exciting for awareness, right?
Yeah, this is what's awesome. You know, we're really, I've been working with one of your fellows, Dale Gillespie, and he has a niece that you're going to be talking to and interviewing with. What's creating is because of this walk, we're finding more invisible illnesses, and we're bringing them in because it's all about a team, and we need to create awareness for all types of invisible illness. Yes, it started with fibromyalgia, then it, you know, with the chronic fatigue. Most of us have more than one issue, you know?
So, well, your cousin Sally,
yes.
She has a form of arthritis.
Yes, she does.
One of the ladies that works in the thrift store, Lori, she says, oh, well, I don't think I should be telling my story because I don't have fibromyalgia, I have arthritis. I'm like, it still needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
You know? And
PTSD. I mean, we're walking for them. We're walking for postpartum depression. How many people do you know? These things are huge, and people aren't even understanding it. So maybe we can help. That's all it's about, is helping. And I'm hoping that will help, just getting out there and making a difference that way.
Yeah. So the other day I was at a doctor's appointment with Mary.
Yes.
Mary, of course, my girlfriend.
Yes.
We're kind of attached to the hip like you and Nigel are.
Yes.
And she's been going through fatigue because of low iron.
Yes.
And low hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talking to the doctor about, of course, the walk to fibromyalgia, and he perked up. He got all excited. You're really going to do something for awareness for that.
Phenomenal.
And it's like, and he asked if I had it, and I was like, no, I don't. I have a different hidden illness, but, you know, but the fact that doctors are getting excited about this now.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about. We had somebody that was in, we had approached as the team approached her, and she wasn't interested in the walk or about fibromyalgia, but as soon as they heard that I was a nominee for the YWCA Women's of Distinction, oh, well, you know, they perked up, but that's not what it's all about. It's about the illness, and why are we all trying to hide invisible illnesses? I mean, that sounds weird, hiding something that's already invisible. But that's what's happening. This is our 21st month working on this, and we're so close to actually the walk that we can see people like, well, why are you walking? Why are you doing this? You know, it's to create awareness for people out there that aren't able to do it for themselves. And I'm just finding I'm still hitting that block wall. Like, people aren't really wanting to hear, but they're going to have to hear because I'm not going to stop, and I know our team isn't going to stop, and you're not going to stop. And
no, we're not stopping.
We're not. We're starting. This is the beginning. Look, you don't want me getting excited now.
Well, you know, I want to get back to the village a second.
Okay.
Because I was looking at the one of the last times was at the thrift store.
Yeah.
And I was looking at your layout and of course your description of what would be in the village and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing things really different there.
Yes, I am.
Not only are you helping care for the people, but you're also demonstrating that by building a community for people to live in that need some sort of assistance at times or another, mm-hmm. that but you're putting parks, you're putting a park in there.
Yes, yeah.
You're putting nature, like trees and bushes and stuff like that, where everybody else is. You're trying to build this sterile environment, right? Yeah. We had to rip away all the trees, and we had to make it concrete. And
that's wrong. That's
it's
wrong.
Like, but part of this is being comfortable, right?
Well, the thing is with the community village, I want to bring it back to a 1950s community where time wasn't as rushed and crazy. And so when they come home or when they're there, it's a place of peace. And it's just like walking to Banff, getting back out to nature. That's why I want to see you. Like the we're planning a system of septic that is a living septic field. We have all kinds of plans of working green so that we're working with the environment. We want a turbine, our own wind turbine, to do our own stuff. So we wanted to have it self-sufficient and helping the community as well, because exerts electricity will go out back to the community and stuff like that. So we want to work green. We want to have things that people aren't going to be competing with, because, you know, our electricity is bad for us. Like when we do our atmosphere support groups, we don't even put the lights on because we know lights are really hard. My eyes are really bad. Thank God next week I should be able to get something done with them. So, you know, things like that affect us. Hearing, oh, my goodness, when you come here, you know it's loud where I live. And my community village, it'll be quieter, you know. And so when I go across to my putting green, yes, I'm going to have a little, what do you call it when you have a little putt-putt, not a golf course, but it's one of those play ones.
Like a mini golf?
Yeah, you know, because I never get time to play. So I'm the lousiest golfer. So I'm going to go play in my own place, you know. And then we're going to have a dog walk for little dogs, and we're going to have one for the bigger dogs, so that the dogs will be a place for them to walk, a place for them to be safe and not running around the streets, you know, kind of in there. And it's a golf cart place. It won't be cars inside the village. They'll be outside the ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just so that people are safe, except for the emergency vehicles will have to come in. But we don't plan that so much. That's in the future. We got plans for that. But this village is, because I think they don't want me to stop working after the walk. And our plan is just go full throttle right into the village as soon as the walk is finished in July. And I'm cool with that. But we got to have the right kind of people come on board. We got to have expertise coming in. Because Nigel and I, we just do our thing. We're not going to be building it ourselves. Nigel has enough to do, right? So, but we'll have the best people in there and the people that really, you know, will work with us. Also, we're going to be targeting single fathers, single moms to work in the village. There'll be lots of opportunities for employment. People with fibromyalgia, people that will do a lot of job sharing, so people can work a few hours or a few days a week. You know, we're going to work with our people. We're going to have our own daycare in there, so our people can bring their kids to work, have them at the daycare. If they want to go pop in at lunch, go visit with them. We have a lot of plans of family to keep them family together. A little schoolroom, so if we need a tutor in there to do some one-on-one or even doing some homeschooling. I mean, we got a lot of plans, and those things are all going to be implemented once the village is up and running. We've got our own hairdresser, and Mary's, your wonderful girlfriend, is already on the flight. She's in there. She's going to be coming in there, you know, like, because we want to help our people. We want to make it enjoyable. We want to make it stressless. I mean, of course, there's going to be stress. I'm going to always be stressed. But I live well with stress, okay? Other people can't.
There's good and bad stress, right?
Yeah.
You know, we want to keep the stress level of the happy and all that up. And,
yeah.
you know, the kind of energy that keeps you living, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not the kind of energy that, that brings you down.
We lost the computer today in the main computer here. It has everything on it. And it wouldn't start this morning. Yeah, it's got everything. And so, you know, a lot of people will go crazy. Like I said to Nigel, how long have you been telling you to make sure it's backed up? You know, it's a year, right? And I said, well, today is the day. So we'll run around after and figure out if we can save what's on there because everything's on there. But, you know, I love husbands sometimes. They're, you know.
we're special kind of people, right?
So
I know, no, okay. I know. You're thinking no more like special ed, right?
So, you know, anytime you want to talk about the village, I want to make it real for people. I want them to understand it's not some pipe dream. It's not just off the wall. It, you know, and I think that's what is challenging for people to understand me because I sound like I'm very fanatical, but you know I'm not. People know I'm not when they actually work with me because I just got to do this. You know, it's something that I'm driven to do, and I'm quite willing to do it. I'm having fun doing it.
Yeah,
so,
it's your calling.
Yeah, it is. I just love it. And I said, if anybody could put something together from scratch, because we went to some of the big foundation, we said, give us direction, and they turned us away. And some of them, not so politely, we weren't asking for money. We were asking for direction. We'd never done something like this. So what we've put together in 21 months has been hit and miss, but I think we're doing awesome. I'm proud of my team. I think they're fantastic. And they more people come on board, and it's just that extra person that we need to fill that little notch. So I'm really proud to say we have the best of the best, and I just love working with them all, and we're becoming a huge family together. And, you know, we just need more sponsors, you know, and we're a family. We're not like strangers that take your money and run. We welcome you. We bring you into our thrift shop in Langley. We give you hugs. Hugs are free. Smiles are free. And that's what we always advertise. That's what we do. So that little, what is that, little engine that could, we will. There is no challenge at all. We're just going to do it one day at a time and one step at a time.
Yeah, the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation, the foundation that did.
Yeah, right. And we
and is doing.
Yeah, we are. And it's like we keep it light, right? We keep it light. Yeah. And that's what we do.
Well, okay, so we need to wrap up over here.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. And
thank you, Michael.
I will probably see you a little later on today.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good morning.
I'm going to hang up now, and I will talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye, Michael. Bye.
So anyway, that's Cheryl. Giving her an update, the walk and everything is coming along really well. Again, you need to go on to GoFundMe right now, and you're going to search for Just One More Step 2016. It's just the number one step 2016 on GoFundMe.com. What we hope to have in the future is there is a gentleman out there who wants to talk to us about dental appliances that actually, because he had buck teeth, it actually has injured him later in life, and he has trouble breathing, and he has fatigue symptoms because of possible lack of or blood to his brain. Because of a dental appliances when he was a teenager. So that's something to look forward to. And Kelly will be back soon. I don't remember the exact date right this second, but Kelly is coming back. Again, he's off in Cambodia doing the Habitat for Humanities. So stay tuned for the next show. And thank you for listening to us today on NCRA Networks and here at CITR 101.9 FM.